I'm Alex Chadwick. This is Day to Day. The Supreme Court released not just the transcripts of today's arguments, it always does that, but it also makes these audio tapes available. The court has released same-day audio only 6 times in its history. 3 of those have come in the last 2 weeks. Legal eagles are wondering, is this a sign of things to come? NPR's Ann Hawk reports.
Supreme Court mavens have known for years how to get audio tape of oral arguments. All it takes is patience. Step 1, wait until the October after a case is argued. Step 2, head to the National Archives, a small fortress in College Park, Maryland. Step 3, show multiple IDs, be all but strip searched, pass through metal detectors. You get the idea. It wasn't until 4 years ago that the Supreme Court began, in rare cases, releasing tapes on an expedited basis. The breakthrough came in the case that decided the 2000 presidential election. Here's Chief Justice William Rehnquist.
We'll hear argument now in number 00949, George W. Bush and Richard Cheney versus Albert Gore et al.
And the court did it again last year, releasing tapes just after hearing the Michigan affirmative action cases and after a campaign finance case. But in the last 2 weeks, the court's taken media friendliness to a whole new level. First, it offered up arguments in the Guantanamo detainees case. Once again, Chief Justice Rehnquist.
Mr. Gibbons, I understand that your clients have been detained approximately 2 years.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Supposing they'd only be detained 6 months, how much would that weaken your case?
Then, yesterday, the court released audio of arguments about the confidentiality of Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force. And again, today, it's sharing tapes in 2 enemy combatant cases. Utah State University President Kermit Hall, a Supreme Court historian, calls this a preemptive strike.
I think what the court's doing is really a strategic move in a climate that is just driven by the need to open up more and more of what government does. And actually, I think it's a kind of an effective strategy as well. I don't think it sets any kind of precedent for the court to invite in radio and TV or closer and fuller scrutiny.
The court says it releases audio quickly when there's intense public interest and a formal request. The media will continue pushing for real-time coverage, audio and video. But even slightly delayed audio is a radical change. Larry Gross is with the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Southern California. He applauds the court's move for its educational benefits, but he worries about those who don't hear the arguments in their entirety.
It's clearly the responsibility of the reporter to set it in an accurate context, but it can be misleading. And this was one of the arguments given by many people against the introduction of cameras to the courtroom or microphones recording trials because of the possibility that the most sensational soundbite would be pulled out of context.
For that matter, even the arguments heard in full can be confusing. Forget about knowing which justice is talking. First, you have to deal with the language barrier. Here's a clip of a lawyer from last week's Guantanamo detainee case.
In any event, that does not go to subject matter jurisdiction. That's a Rule 12b-2 issue of in personam jurisdiction.
TV might make the arguments more accessible, but court watchers say the Supremes won't be coming to home theaters anytime soon. Among other signs of court resistance, Justice Souter once said cameras would make it into the chamber over his dead body. Ann Hawk, NPR News, Washington.